This morning we're going to look at the spiritual discipline of prayer, and my guess is that most of you here this morning are not satisfied or not content with your prayer life, and if you're like me, you recognize that there's a lot of room for growth. But over the past week, I have been encouraged. God has been stirring in my heart as I've looked at a passage this morning and has been thinking and reading on the topic of prayer. And so I want us to just take a moment this morning and ask God to stir in each of our hearts a passion and desire to know God better through prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the stirring that you've done in my heart by your Spirit and through your Word. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would breathe life into our hearts this morning. Lord, that you would stir, that you would give us a yearning to know you and to seek you in deeper ways. Lord, that we would learn to depend upon you, that we would trust you to provide for us. Lord, that we would be able to see you at work in our lives as we interact with you day to day. Thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to connect with you through your word, by your Spirit. And again, Lord, we'd ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if you're here this morning and you desire to grow in the discipline of prayer, take your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. And it's a book that we do not look at very often. And you're like, exactly where is Nehemiah? I know it's in the Old Testament. I'll tell you how I usually find Nehemiah. I find the book Psalms and Proverbs, and then I come forward a few books, and I come to the book of Nehemiah, directly after the book of Ezra. Well, again, I want to encourage each of you to turn here. We're going to camp out here for the next 30 minutes. We're going to read through Nehemiah chapter 1 into Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah was a leader. He not only was a leader, but he was a man of prayer and was characterized by dependence upon God through prayer. So follow along as we read Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 through the end of the chapter. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakalai, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned, fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, the decrees, and the laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if you're exiled, people are in the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." I was cupbearer to the king. We see in Nehemiah verse 1 that Nehemiah is the author. He is the one retelling the story. He references the month of Kislev, which is on the Jewish calendar. If you're like me and you're not familiar with the Jewish calendar, it would have been November and December on our calendars. Based on the book of Nehemiah, as I mentioned earlier, we can conclude that he is a gifted leader, a gifted administrator. Just the fact that he was cupbearer to the king says a lot about who Nehemiah was. Anyone who would have risen to that prestigious position in the king's palace would have been somebody who was respected, somebody who was gifted. And he would have had frequent contact with the king. In verse 2, we see that Nehemiah received word that even though the Jewish exiles had returned to Jerusalem, the walls and gates of Jerusalem were still in ruins. Because the gates and the walls were still in ruin, it says that the Israelites there in Jerusalem were in great trouble. The reason they were in great trouble was because with the walls broken down, they were then very vulnerable to their enemies. And it says that they were disgraced. The reason that they were disgraced was because the walls were symbolic for strength. They were symbolic for peace. And to have those walls destroyed made them vulnerable and afraid and was a disgrace to them and their country. What was Nehemiah's response to this news? Verse 4, he says, "I sat down and I wept." He was emotionally moved as he entered into what his relatives, what his descendants, what the other Israelites were experiencing in Jerusalem. He was emotionally moved, he was wept, and it says that he mourned and fasted and prayed for days. At the end of Nehemiah's prayer, in verse 11, he makes a specific request. The specific request he brings to God is what? He says, "Give your servant," which is himself, "give me success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." Who is this man that he is wanting to have favor of? It's his boss. It's the king. And the reason that he needed to have favor with the king is if you would read in Ezra chapter 4, the king made a decree that the Israelites could not rebuild the walls, that they could not rebuild the gates. And so Nehemiah is faced with a situation that is emotionally overwhelming to him. He has been given this burden. There's this challenge that lays before him, but it is too big for him. He cannot fix it or navigate through it himself. He needs the king to have a change of heart. And so at the end of his prayer, he makes a very specific request to God. Some of you this morning may find yourself in a similar situation. It's not necessarily walls that are in ruin or gates that have been burned by fire, but you are facing a situation and circumstances in your life that are beyond your control, that are too big for you to navigate through, that are too big for you to fix. I want you to know that you, in God's economy, are at a great place. Even though it doesn't feel like a good place, you are right where God wants us. You see, sometimes we feel, oh, the only time that I pray, the only time I reach out, the only time I lean into God when I have a problem. Guess what? God's okay with that. He's more than okay with that. He's allowed suffering and circumstances into our life so that we do lean on Him through prayer. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we see that Paul lists a list of hardships that he faced in the province of Asia. So much so that it said that he wished he was not even alive. I mean, it was intense circumstances. And then he says this in verse 9, "But this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God." So as you look at those challenging circumstances in your life, look at them as opportunities to lean into God, to rely on Him through prayer. And here's what I want you to do. As you think about those circumstances that are big, that are challenging, that you cannot navigate through, I don't want you just to say, "God, help me with." I want you to be thinking about this morning what you are to be praying specifically for as relates to that situation. Nehemiah was very specific with the request that he was bringing before God. His was a big task, rebuild the walls. But there was one specific task, and that was, "Grant me favor with this man, with this king." What are you going to trust God for? What are you going to lean into God and say, God, I'm going to trust you to do this specific thing in this huge circumstance? If you and I are going to grow in a discipline of prayer, we need to take advantage of the challenges in our lives as opportunities for us to grow in our walk with God as we lean on Him. The next lesson on prayer that we can learn from Nehemiah is found in verse 4. It says, "For some days I mourned, fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven." It doesn't say that Nehemiah was upset and then he prayed for a few minutes. It doesn't even say that he prayed for a few hours. It said that he prayed for a few days. How many of you have ever prayed for a few days? If you're like me, you struggle to pray for a few minutes or a few hours. But Nehemiah stepped out of his routine. He set aside his responsibilities. He set aside food. And my guess is he set aside time from his friends and family, socializing. And he got alone with God. He spent some extended time with God. And during this time that he set aside, what did he do? Do you think that for days Nehemiah had this running monologue with God? I don't think so. If you were to set aside extended time with God, what would it look like? If you look at this prayer, we can gain some insight into how to spend extended time with God in prayer. First off, he says in verse 4, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love." He's worshiping and he's praising God. If you and I are going to grow in the discipline of prayer, we must set aside time to pray. We must put it on our calendars. We must schedule it into our day and our week. And when we schedule that half an hour, that evening, that morning, and you're saying, what should I do with that time? Praise God. How do you praise God? Maybe it's something as simple as listening to some worship music that is significant and helpful for you. You're saying, does that count for prayer? Absolutely. Set aside time away from everybody else, away from the computer, away from your phone, and sit down and spend it with God, listening to worship music, worshiping God, praising God. Maybe praising God and worshiping Him through prayer is for you taking out a pen and just making a list of things that you're thankful for. Maybe it's reading through the Psalms. But if you're going to spend extended time with God, it's going to involve praising and worshiping Him. We also see that apparently Nehemiah spent his time praying, confessing. He says, "I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you." When you spend extended time praying, you want to have some silence. You want to have some solitude. You want to have a time to take a spiritual inventory, because there's things that God may want to bring to your attention that are getting in the way of your relationship with Him and your way of your relationship with others. Things that you may have been justifying or rationalizing. And you need to be still and be quiet and say, God, what are the things that I need to take to the cross and say, thank you, you have forgiven them. I am still your son or daughter, but yet I confess and acknowledge that I don't measure up. So spending extended time in prayer involves worship. It involves confession. And then Nehemiah says in verse 8, he says, "Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses." My guess is that Nehemiah had before him, during those days where he was praying and fasting, copies of what Moses had written in those Old Testament decrees and laws. Remember the challenge that I gave you on December 30th for 2013? Remember what that challenge was? To prioritize the Scriptures. When you spend time alone with God in prayer, it involves talking to God. It allows Him speaking and ministering to our hearts through His Word. So have your Bible open. And then at the end of the prayer, as I mentioned, he had some very specific requests. Take time to pray very specifically for what you are looking for God to do in your life. And when you set aside this time to pray, it's probably going to look different for each one of us because we have unique personalities and we connect with God in various and different ways. And it's probably going to be looking different for each of us based on the circumstances and situations in our lives. Maybe based on what's going on in your life and you sit down to have an extended half an hour with God in prayer, maybe it's just going to be all listening to worship music and reflecting on who God is. Maybe the majority of the time is going to be in God's Word, reading. Maybe the majority of the time is going to be writing out a prayer. Maybe the majority of the time is going to be silence and solitude. For some of you who have said, you know what, I've never spent an extended time with God. Hopefully, what we see in Nehemiah is a guideline for how you can do that. If you were at the men's breakfast yesterday, Todd gave us a challenge. And one of the things that was part of that challenge was to relax with God. I've never thought about it like that. I've been thinking about that since yesterday morning. Relax with God. Be still before God. Get away from the distractions. Relax with God. So, how do we grow in the discipline of prayer? We look at problems and challenges as opportunities to rely upon God. And we also schedule into our calendar extended times to be with Him in prayer. Let's continue on with the story. In Nehemiah chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have a letter to the governor of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beam for the gates of the citadel, by the temple and for the city walls and for the residents I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request." Verse 1, Nehemiah says, in the month of Nisan. If you're like me and you're not familiar with the Jewish calendar, this is April. He began chapter 1 by referencing the month of Kislev, which would have been November into December. So 4 months have transpired from the time he heard about the news that the walls are in disarray. The gates have been burned down. The people are afraid. They're disgraced. They're vulnerable. 4 months have transpired for Nehemiah to continue to pray and to continue to wait upon the Lord. If I know Nehemiah, from what we read in the book of Nehemiah, he was a motivated, gifted, type A leader and administrator. How hard do you think it was for Nehemiah to wait 4 months? But he waited and he prayed. He didn't take the situation into his own hands. He didn't initiate it. He allowed God in his timing to bring about the perfect timing to have that conversation. And when the king said to him 4 months later, "Why are you so sad? You're physically, you're fine. Why are you so sad?" He knew that it was his time to make that request that he had been praying about for 4 months. And what does it say was his response? At the end of verse 2, he says, I was very much afraid. Isn't that interesting? I would have anticipated, it would have said, and I was very excited because now I have the opportunity. The moment I've been waiting for and praying for is now here. But it says, I was very much afraid. He doesn't say why he was afraid, but if you go to commentaries, most of them indicate that if he was going to be asking the king as a simple cupbearer and servant to the king to change a law, to change a decree, that he better be prepared to have his life taken. Because if the king would have found that offensive, the nerve of you to challenge my decision, he could have been sent out of the king's palace in Persia and been executed. Or maybe he was simply afraid that this moment that he prayed for and anticipated wasn't going to turn out. You know, you have something that you have been praying for a long time, and now all of a sudden it's at that point and you're going to see what God's answer is going to be. You know how your heart starts to race? It's like, oh man, what is God going to unfold? Either way, Nehemiah, in his own words, says, I was very much afraid. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what is it you want? What is it you want, Nehemiah? Then Nehemiah just jump on that question and answer it right away. The text says, then I prayed to the God of heaven. Isn't that interesting? Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king. In other words, it wasn't a verbal, it wasn't an audible prayer. It was a prayer in his heart and mind. And when the king said to Nehemiah, what is it you want? What do you do? In the quietness of his heart, he said, God, help me. God, grant me favor. God, may your will be done. And I answered the king. Nehemiah understood that God didn't just live in the temple, that God was with him wherever he went. He was very aware of God's ongoing, moment by moment, day by day, presence in his life. And he was practicing the discipline of spontaneous prayer. 8 times in the book of Nehemiah, we see that Nehemiah prayed spontaneously. Nehemiah lived out the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 when it says to pray continually, to pray without ceasing. Moment by moment, bring your request, your needs, your thanks before God. If you and I are going to grow in the discipline of prayer, we need to set aside time for extended time, and we need to practice spontaneous prayers. And they both complement one another. Because the more you set aside time with God, to spend extended time with Him like we described, the more that it's going to help you to understand His presence in your day-to-day lives. And the more that you commune and relate and talk to Him and pray with Him throughout your day, the sweeter those extended times are going to be. They complement one another. In many ways, it's what Jesus described in John chapter 15. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, we will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You and I need to keep coming back to this passage as we think about prayer. It's about remaining, abiding, communicating to Christ moment by moment, day by day. So how do we grow in the discipline of prayer? We embrace challenges and problems as opportunities to rely upon God. We set aside extended time with God in prayer, and we practice spontaneous prayer to God throughout our day. Before we leave this text, I want you to look again at the end of verse 8. Nehemiah says this, "And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request." Nehemiah was giving God the credit. Because Nehemiah was depending and relying on God, and he was asking him for something very specific, it was very clear when that prayer was answered that it came from God. When you and I pray specifically, when we trust God for specific things in our life, we see God's hand. We see His faithfulness. It's one of the things that God's been stirring in my heart this week. I came to church this morning praying for certain specific things. I've already seen God answer my prayer. I've been able to see and experience the hand of God this morning because I was praying specifically. I was looking and in tune for God's gracious hand on my life. When we pray specifically, when we depend upon God through prayer, when we grow in the discipline of prayer, God is honored, God is exalted in our lives as He answers and He responds. Here at CBC, it's time to put this passage, this message, into practice. What does it look like for you to put this message into practice? I want you to know that it wasn't just Pastor Jeff's idea to have this message on prayer. Back in November, as I was planning out sermon series for the new year, we had planned for a six-week sermon series on spiritual disciplines. Again, to give you the resources and tools to train yourself in godliness. And when I met with Todd and Jim in December, and we talked about the various lists of disciplines that we could look at, we were not planning to do a message on prayer. But over the past few weeks of January, without going into a lot of detail, if you want to talk to me later, God made it very clear to me that He was calling us to a season of prayer for the month of February. We, being us here at Community Bible Church, our Heavenly Father is calling us, His children, into a deeper relationship with Him during the month of February. Jesus Christ, our groom, we're the bride, is calling us into a deeper relationship with Him. He's asking us to depend upon Him, to pray to Him more in February than we have in 2012. To pray with Him during the month of February more than we have been in the month of January. Specifically, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do this morning. Here's what that means for me. Friday is February 1st. Between now and Friday, February the 1st, I want you to get out your calendar. That may be the kind of calendar that we have still in our desk, one that you actually write on, okay? Or it may be the one like I have here at work on my computer. Or it may be the one that you have on your phone. But get out your calendar for the month of February and put on that calendar times when you're going to spend extended time with God through prayer. And I want to encourage you to do it at least once a week. So at least four times during the month of February, you're going to have an appointment with God. And maybe for you it's going to work out best if it's the same time every week. If it's Monday evening from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Or maybe it's going to be for you Tuesday over your lunch break. Or maybe it's going to be Saturday morning before the kids get up. Or maybe it's going to be Sunday afternoon. If your calendar and schedule is like mine, it's not going to be the same every week. And it's going to be a certain amount of time this week and a certain amount of time that week. Maybe it's going to be a whole morning. Maybe it's going to be a whole day. And you're like, well, what am I going to do? Again, remember, it's not just about making your requests known by God. It's about worshiping. It's about confession. It's about silence and solitude. It's about opening up the scriptures. It's about journaling. And when you have this extended time in prayer, I want you to be praying specifically for the challenge in your life that God and His sovereignty has allowed to be in your life. And I want you to be praying something very specific as relates to that challenge. And I also want you to be praying for Community Bible Church. This is a very significant year in the life of CBC. We are looking to make four hires, if God so leads, in 2013. John Knoll was going to be stepping back to part-time, which is, if you know John, is a joke, because instead of working 60 hours, he'll probably work 45. But nonetheless, we're going to hire him a full-time assistant. We are going to also be putting a search committee together that's going to be meeting this Wednesday night for a full-time worship director. We're also going to need to find a replacement for Pastor Mark, and we're also looking to hire a pastor of outreach. In the life of a church, those kind of hires have long-term significant spiritual impact. We as staff, as elders, as leaders, as search committees, we don't have the human wisdom that is needed. We need God to lead us and guide us. So please be praying for Community Bible Church. Pray for those positions and those hires and those search committees. Pray for the vision and the values of our church, of who God is calling us to be. Pray that we would grow in our love for God, our love for others, that we would be reaching out. I also want you to pray specifically for what your passion is, your heart is for CBC. And pray specific. I've started praying specifically for what I'm asking God for in 2013 at CBC. And I'm going to look forward to see how God is going to answer. What do you want to ask God for specifically at CBC as relates to your ministry or your department that you're involved in? For the 4 months, or the four Sundays in February, on the back of your sermon notes will be a little bit of a prayer guide for you that week. But again, specifically, the challenge for each of us for the month of February is to put on our calendars an extended time of prayer. Let's pray. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. And I want to bring you to a point of commitment, to a point of decision. If you're here this morning, you say, yes, I want to make a commitment to put extended time with God on my calendar, raise your hand. Thank you. Some of you gave me a thumbs up. Later today, later this week, open up your calendars and anticipate what God's going to do as you make appointments with Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You never leave us nor forsake us, that You're always with us, that we can go to You with whatever is on our heart and mind. We're thankful for the friendship that we have with You through Your Son, Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.